to the Rod Arquette Show. Filling in for Rod, here's Boyd Matheson.
Welcome back, everybody. We are cruising through hour number two of the Rod Arquette Show. This is Boyd Matheson sitting in for Rod. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Those of you who are stuck on I-15, I'm sorry, but I cannot help you. But hopefully listening will help you and ease your pain as you're driving home today. It's a beautiful day out there. We are real excited to have someone take a little time out of something real critical. During the first hour, we had historian David Barton on the program, who gives a pretty mean tour of the Capitol. But we are now being joined mid-tour by Representative Rob Bishop, who gives the best tour of the Capitol. Congressman, thanks for joining us today.
I'll accept that accolade.
Okay. I know you don't accept very many, so I'm going to pour that one on because they are legendary. If you haven't had an official Representative Bishop tour, you really haven't seen the United States Capitol yet. But Rob, the thing I wanted to talk with you about today that I think is so important, and I hope Utahns recognize how critical this is. You were part of launching today the first hearing for a task force on intergovernmental affairs. And I just to tee it up, I just want to read something that Speaker Paul Ryan said at the beginning of this. He talked about it being a nonpartisan issue, this idea of federalism and getting the power back to the state. And he gave you a great compliment and saying that he said, "I want to especially thank Chairman Bishop. We are here today because of his commitment to a bipartisan dialogue on federalism that is truly driven from the bottom up." And I would just add a big amen to that. But Rob, tell us about this task force and tell us about the hearing today.
Well, I think the speaker was too nice in talking about me, but this is historic. From the 1950s, well, the Eisenhower administration till the middle of Clinton, there used to be an executive branch agency called something about governmental affairs that met continuously to talk about these types of issues. It was cut in the Clinton years because it kind of drifted from its mission, but also as a cost-saving initiative. So since that time, there really has not been any dialogue, and I've been pushing speakers to try and start something. Paul Ryan, I appreciate because he understands the principles of federalism. He understands the administrative state. He can talk fluently about Max Weber. He gets it. And for him to establish this task force is truly unique. It is one of a kind. And I'm just pleased to actually be part of it there. So there are 6 Democrats with me, 7 Republicans. And our goal is to talk, not get bogged down in policy debates or anything, but to talk about procedures and the process so that people can make more decisions for themselves. The goal of federalism always was to protect individual liberty, but also to allow people to make choices for themselves and not have everything dictated from a place thousands of miles away in Washington, D.C. So I'm excited about it. We had our first meeting today. We're going to have a lot more, but I'm excited that people are actually going to have a chance to start coming up with ideas on how we can change the structure and the system here to ensure that people on state, local, tribal governments can actually make decisions for themselves.
Oh, that's fantastic, and I can't think of anything more important in the country. When I was back there in D.C., people would often say, well, you know, how would you describe Representative Bishop? And I would always respond with an easy answer, that he is the guy that is going to make federalism sexy again. And you really have. You've spent your entire career back there in Washington talking about these important principles. And I think it's been interesting. LeVar Webb had a fantastic piece in Utah Policy this week talking about how a lot of liberals have suddenly found religion in federalism during the Trump administration. But I love the fact that you're getting this group together, not to get into the weeds of some of the policy matters, but the process. So what are some of your early initiatives, and who were some of the people that you had testify today as part of this initial and historic hearing?
Well, we had the testimony was given by the director of the National Governors Association. We had the president of the National Association of Counties as a commissioner from Florida, a state senator from Tennessee, who was part of in charge of the Council of State Governments, and a mayor from just outside of Washington, who's, I think, president or at least on the board of the National Association of League of Cities, I believe. So our goal is to have people coming up there that will give us some ideas. We're just starting the process. I have a lot of things I would like to do, but first I want to make sure that everyone has a chance just to think and go through these things, and then we'll try and sift out the ideas, spending some time talking amongst ourselves, and then come up with what I hope will be some structural changes that can take place in statute, maybe in a constitutional amendment to actually empower local governments and states and tribes.
That is exciting, and I think it's the right path in terms of what we need to get to as a country, that we need to stop looking to Washington. I think you're one of the few folks back there who would actually like to leave that place a little less powerful than you found it.
That's always been my mantra, is I want to lose power back here. And I get it. Look, we see a problem. We think we need to step in and do it. Part of Washington needs to discipline itself to realize other people can solve problems as well, not just us. And there are some levels of government that are much better to do that. And I appreciate what you said earlier on there, because to me, federalism is not liberal or conservative. It's not big government, small government. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's saying that people get to choose what they want. There are some sections of this country that may want a robust big government, and if they're willing to pay for it and not superimpose that on everybody else, let them do it. Federalism means you get to make choices, even if they're the wrong choices. But at least you allow people to make choices for themselves. So I'm looking forward to this, a new relationship that we can build between Washington and local governments, and one that's dedicated to try and come up with a government that is much more effective and efficient and accountable.
I think that kind of dialogue is so vital. It is easy to get caught on the big national pieces where we're trying to solve these problems in one big bite from D.C., as opposed to getting down to the community. We've spent the last year working with pollster Scott Rasmussen and looking at this whole idea of community-driven solutions. And it's really the heart of federalism and self-governance that really is the core and was the bedrock that the country was founded on.
It is. The idea that people are bright enough to make decisions for themselves. And let's face it, that Constitutional Convention did not put a Bill of Rights in. And it wasn't because they were opposed to it. They thought that rights could be protected structurally by the concept of federalism, keeping states and Washington balanced between them. But therefore, that was the way you protect individual liberty. It's about time. I think it's been off balance. It's about time we move it back in some direction.
Definitely. What should people be watching for coming out of this committee? What are things that Utahns here could be looking for as some signals that you're either engaging and elevating the dialogue? How can people weigh in or find out what's happening within this this new task force?
Well, first of all, give us a chance to actually do something. Don't expect.
We want it done by Friday, Rob. Come on. Yeah. We're going to give you a week.
So do I, but that's not going to happen. And we are... We are starting, the big August break is about to come to us. So we'll do a couple of meetings before then. We'll pick it up again in September. Then at least have some formal meetings every other month and some informal meetings with amongst ourselves as we need to. But I'm not going to rush this
good
into doing something that is premature. And I want to make sure that hopefully what we come up with has bipartisan support to make it acceptable to everyone. And I appreciate the speaker. I appreciate Nancy Pelosi for assigning people. And the people on the task force, there are former governors, there are state legislators, county commissioners or supervisors, there are mayors or city councilmen. I got the speaker of the house from a state and the speaker of the house from a territory. There's a lot of experience here, and I think it's going to play out, hopefully, as we try and design systems that these people who have this wide background of experience on state and local government levels, they can bring into play.
That's fantastic. Everybody needs to keep your eye on this. This is an important thing. This is a historic task force in my view, as you move that all forward. Rob, before we let you go, and if you're just joining us, we've got Rob Bishop on the line. He is the chair of a new task force focused on federalism. So as you're giving your tour of the Capitol tonight, bring us all in as listeners. Give us one area or one element in the Capitol that to you speaks to federalism.
The original design of it was all supposed to be about federalism. The goal of having some kind of balance between the horizontal level between the through branches of government, and then a vertical level